This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. This bracket season, FanDuel is letting you make the call. Because right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's 200 extra bucks to bet on everything from clutch shots to last-second heartbreaks and even who's cutting down the nets. If you've been waiting to join, there's no better time. There's tourney action almost every day, and FanDuel has amazing bet types like spreads, totals, game props, and so much more. So visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and get in on the college hoops action all tourney long.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Man, we got a full show tonight for you, and we'll tell you in the first hour we have Jonah Williams, the new Saints defensive lineman, will join us. Certainly has a history with Brandon Staley when he was with the Rams as a defensive coordinator. He'll join us at 4:20. And so Jonas got a really nice story with him. He had a huge growth spurt, and I'll let him tell the story as a senior that got him a football scholarship. And you never know. I remember Bobby telling me sort of the same thing happened to him. I think it was more when he was a sophomore than late in his career, but a little bit later in his high school career. But we have Jonah Williams on at 4:20, and at 4:40, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. And coach, going through a lot of changes with the Green Wave this year. New quarterback, new stud running back. You lose one in Mekhi Hughes and trying to replace him. And some certainly a lot of new pieces along the offensive and defensive line. So we'll get Coach Summerall's talk about that and what he has seen so far early in spring practice. 5:20. Isaac Yetem will join us. I would say he's a new member of the Saints, but he was only gone for a year, and he's back with this football team and played a lot of outside corner, nickel, dime set, special teams. So Isaac joins us at 5:20, and at 5:40, man, one of the guys we really enjoy having. I know Charlie and I talk about it all the time. Coach Scott Spinelli will join us to talk about the NCAA tournament, a college coach, great analyst, too, of college basketball. And sticking with that theme, it kind of broke today. I think it's no huge news as far as a breaking news, but Will Wade and his attorney and agent come to terms with North Carolina State. He will coach tomorrow night against Clemson, but all these reports coming out, it seems to be that it was headed on that road basically a little less than a week ago when it was first reported that his agent and people at North Carolina State had spoke about a new contract. And, you know, Coach Wade knows that area very well. He's from that part of the country, and so he knows the recruiting end of it. I think if he had his druthers, and I put him on a lie detective machine, because he's told it to me, man, I love coaching in the – I would have loved coach back in the SEC. I don't know about how the Texas job would have opened or would he have waited for that. I think there was some mutual interest on both sides there. But, again, Texas being in the tournament, we'll see how far they go. And, Charlie, you might – they play Xavier right off the bat, I think?
Yeah, they play in the first four tonight, Mike, and all that action will be on the bet.
they play the later game, the 11 seed kind of play-in game to the NCAA tournament. I'm kind of surprised with the Texas thing. I had heard that Rodney Terry, the head coach of Texas, was kind of on the hot seat, and barring some kind of deep run into the NCAA tournament, that he was going to be fired by the end of the season. But Coach Wade, you know, locking down this job with NC State, and Mike, you and I talked off air about this. It's a good time to be hopping to the ACC, I think. Like, with the SEC, 14 to 16 teams make the NCAA tournament. It is a gauntlet. It's loaded right now. It's the best that it's ever been. So jumping back into, you know, the SEC would have been a challenge. But with the ACC, it's a little bit down. You know, Tony Bennett retires from Virginia. They're not really in it anymore. Louisville's kind of seen a resurgence under Pat Kelsey, which has been nice. But it's like Duke, UNC is like kind of barely made the tournament. But, I mean, they showed last night why they deserve to be in there. But outside of that, the ACC's been pretty bad recently, Mike. It's not like what it was basically a half decade ago.
Charlie, as I told you with Will Wade, he ain't afraid of a challenge.
That's true.
Man, the one thing with Will, he got a lot of bravado with him. And so, you know, when we had him on a couple of days ago, you could kind of tell it was leading to that. And, you know, he didn't deny the fact that his people had spoke to, you know, other colleges about his services as a head coach. So he was, hey, my focus is on Clemson, but you could tell, you know, and listen, give him a lot of credit. When you go 57-10 at McNeese and look at what it was when he took over, you might not like Will Wade. Personally, maybe for some of the things, you know, in recruiting, which is all sort of legal now, but it wasn't legal back then. And so he got caught. And the other thing, too, is Will might have been the fall guy for LSU football because they were hunting all over at LSU at that time. And Will caught the guillotine, ends up at McNeese, rebuilds back his career. But 57-10 at a school not known for basketball. You got to give Coach Wade, his staff, a lot of credit there for piecing that together in back-to-back Southland Conference championships.
Mike, I'll give you a number, and this is just about his impact that he had in Lake Charles. McNeese is a Division I school, has made it to how many NCAA tournaments? Four. Two of which have come under Coach Will Wade in the last 2 years. The other two times, 1989, they were a 16 seed, and in 2002, they were a 14 seed. Now back-to-back 12 seeds under Coach Will Wade. So he broke a 22-year drought from the NCAA tournament last year, and then he goes back-to-back as Southland Conference champion. So, yeah, Will Wade put McNeese on the map. You got to give him all the praise in the world for that. And now he's heading out to the ACC, NC State, a very storied program. So we're happy for him.
And you can bank it. NC State is going to be in the hunt next year. One thing with Will, he's going to piece it together and do a really good job at NC State.
I agree.
Charlie, in some breaking news that just happened maybe about 5 minutes ago, and a five-star recruit, Tristan Keys from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, he was considered one of the top five players in the recruiting class of 2026, has verbally committed to LSU. That was
the
guy. Man, that coaching staff spent a lot of time. Now, here's the key. You got to keep him.
Right.
Okay, that verbal commitment ain't worth the piece of paper that it was written on, so to speak. But, man, that's a big get for LSU. They had been trying to get Keys, and that had been something kind of in the works and a lot of talk when across LSU that they were really, really trying to get him. And LSU, they ain't no DBU no more. It's wide receiver you.
Yeah,
and now to get a commitment from one of the top five players in the recruiting class of 2026 in Tristan Keys, who's from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Now the big angle is you got to keep him committed and signed sometime in December. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL and Jonah Williams, Saints defensive lineman, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. One of the new members of the New Orleans Saints along the defensive line, Jonah Williams. Jonah, thanks so much for joining us here on Sports Talk, and welcome to New Orleans.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, no problem. Excited to be here.
Jonah, I got to ask you right off the bat, have you ever been to New Orleans or Louisiana before?
No, I was playing for the Rams in 2022 or 3, and I played there one time. So besides that, everything's new to me.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little tip. You're going to have to push away from the plate every once in a while. Man, the food here is unbelievable. So I'm gonna crack it to you right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I did notice, like, right away, like, just how nice everyone was, and it is different. I mean, I'm living in Utah right now from Idaho, and you know, people are great there too. But it's just different down there. And I appreciate it. Me and my wife are stoked about it.
Your connection certainly with the Saints was Brandon Staley. You had him when you were with the Rams, and he was there as a defensive coordinator. And so that was a big part, certainly, of you signing on with the Saints. Correct?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 2020. He was there as the DC. So he made a huge impact right away. I mean, that defense was, I think, in the top 3 or 5 or something in the league that first year that he was a DC. So I mean, he immediately got a head coach job after that, and then he left, and then other DCs came into the Rams, and they adopted the same defense because they had so much success there. So that's what I know. That's what I'm excited to be a part of. Again, I think it fits my strengths.
One of the things with you, you're known for your ability to stop the run. And this football team has really struggled in that category. So I'll ask you about that part. But you've played in this defense, and it's sort of a hybrid 3-4. It's not maybe the traditional 3-4 where that nose is always sitting in front of the center. It's sort of shaded back and forth a little bit. I'll get you to talk about those two things. Certainly about playing along that defensive line in that scheme and your ability to stop the run.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I like about Staley is his philosophy is since the defensive linemen are at the point of attack on the front of the line, he wants to put them in a good position to win. You know, I see other defenses where they just kind of lock their defensive linemen and kind of adjust everyone behind them. But that allows the offensive line to kind of, you know, pattern recognize, be able to tee off more on the defensive linemen. So what I appreciate about Staley is the ability to front adjust to what's going to put us in a good position. So if we're in a good position, we're hitting our blocks right, everyone else's job gets easier. So I appreciate that philosophy of actually taking care of the defensive linemen, putting us in a good spot.
The traditional 3-4, as we look at it, though, it's a little different with Brandon, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a ton of philosophy behind that, but I just know, like, with him, you're going to see a lot of different presentations that are probably easier for us to learn, but can be confusing to an offense. So, I mean, that's, once again, changing it up all the time allows an offense to kind of be on their toes and allows us to, I mean, effectively hit blocks better. I mean, our blocks get softer if an offensive line doesn't know kind of where you're going to be and what you're going to play.
One of the things, too, is, man, I was a high school guy. I went to a couple of Pete Maravich camps and basketball camps.
Okay.
And I watched Pete play, and I'm like, man, what? I thought I knew how to play a little bit, man, and it was just a little bit in compared to Pete Maravich. But you got to play on that Rams defensive line with Aaron Donald. And so I'll give you the floor here to talk about Aaron and what a unique athlete. He's maybe not the prototypical size, length, everything else, but you put that sucker on the field, he's going to kick your butt every time you line up against him. And, man, just a great competitor, super player out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible example, and I appreciate a lot of things that he taught me. And just, I mean, with the example alone of what like a genetic freak he is, but plus the working hard side of it. I mean, a lot of times you get one or the other in the league. You get guys that work hard, maybe not gifted, or guys that are talented and kind of coasted on that for, you know, throughout their whole life. I think Aaron was like one examples that I had where it's like, you know, incredibly twitchy, fast, you know, has all the tools. I mean, he doesn't have the height that, you know, old school coaches wanted, but I mean, he had the twitch, but he also had a work ethic that was like, I mean, no one came close to it. I mean, I tried to, that last year I was there when we were in the starting line there, we'd have lifts during the day, during camp, you know, and then he would go back in the weight room after camp and we would hit another lift. And I mean, where the average team is lifting twice a week, he's lifting like multiple times a day, pretty much every day, just to keep his body where it needed to be on game day. And I think that shows with his record. I mean, he only missed one half of a season due to kind of a freak injury to his ankle, but due to someone else. But besides that, like, he just didn't suffer from the injuries that everyone else does. And there was one time when I was at the Rams where I saw him winning so much, like it, literally every play, run or pass, that they pulled him out of practice so that the offense could do what they had to do. So, you know, the head coach has to balance, you know, the wins and losses between offense and defense to maintain each confidence, right? So, I mean, when Aaron Donald's like blowing up every play, no matter if it's run or pass, they got to the point where he had to take the rest of practice off, which is, I've seen that once in my life, and it was them. Pretty incredible.
Jonah, undrafted out of Weber State in 2020, we talked with Mike Silver from The Athletic recently about Brandon Staley and his candidacy for the DC job, which he ultimately got here. But, you know, Silver kind of mentioned the crazy job that Staley did that year because it was such a strange offseason, as I'm sure you remember, you know, the COVID year, yeah. And how he's like basically teaching a defense over Zoom sometimes. But it ended up working out. You have the number one ranked scoring defense in the NFL. I just wanted to get your kind of recap of that season and how strange it was, but also kind of learning under Coach Staley's tutelage, which led you to that top-ranked defense in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I had no perspective then. Like, I was undrafted free agent out of Weber State. You know, no OTAs. Pretty naive to the whole thing. I mean, we showed up to camp. I was 20 pounds heavier than I was in college. I was expected to learn, like, inside defensive line. A 4-eye, 3-techs. I was a 5 in college. So, I mean, it was pretty much a blur, like just how hard everything is. I remember the first week of practice, I'm going against Andrew Whitworth, who I think turned 40 or 41 that year. He's bald, gray beard. I mean, he'd been playing professional football, I think, longer than I had been playing football. So, I mean, it was just like – just a blur. I mean, trying to get through all that and getting beat by him, but it, you know, forced me to get better. So I appreciate that. The Staley, I just remember how good of a leader he was able to, you know, install the new defense that they weren't used to at the time. And people picked up the defense quick and had a lot of success with it. So I remember it being, they were able to stop the run really well. Which opened up everything else. I mean, if you can stop the run, you have Aaron Donald and some other, like Leonard Floyd, had some other rushers there, and get them into a third and long situation. You like the odds there. So I remember that being the way it worked that year.
One of the things, Joan, is have you got to meet and talk with Bo Davis, your new defensive line coach?
Yeah, just very briefly. Yeah. Yep. I mean, all I can say is excited to go to work with him, and think we got some good things lined up for camp coming up. He's to OTAs here in a couple weeks.
Well, he's a great teacher. I'm gonna tell you right off the bat, he's a technique guy, and he did play the position, so you know he's got a little experience. Kind of talking about it. Last question for you, my cohort Bobby Hebert always talks about when. He went from 9th to 10th grade. He had a 4-inch growth spurt height-wise.
Yeah.
And he went from like 140 pounds to 180 pounds. For you, it happened a little bit later. So that's maybe why you only got that one scholarship offer. So kind of tell the people listening here on WWL about your high school days, and it was a late growth spurt for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always been like a decently like large kid. Like I was playing tight end before, and my junior year I was about 6'1", 190, but just skinny. I wasn't playing a lot. I actually hadn't been playing a lot up to that point, up to my junior year. I probably due to that, I just wasn't putting it together on the field well enough. And after that junior season. Man, I went from that 6'1", 190 to over 6'4", close to 250. Can't remember if I was quite 250, but at least over 240. So I got to play with that my senior year in high school, and obviously that was a night and day difference for me. I mean, I felt like I had a completely new body, and was able just to do enough to get the one offer to Weber State. I mean, there was some other interest at the time from Boise State and Utah State, but it seems like too little too late there. I mean, they were just like, yeah, I mean, I had a good season, but we kind of already offered, you know, our guys and, you know, we offer you a walk-on. So at the time, I took the money, you know, at Weber State and did that. It was great. It was a perfect opportunity.
Jonah, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about your time with Detroit in 2024. I know, you know, there's a lot of former Saints up in that organization between Dan Campbell, the head coach, Aaron Glenn, who was the DC, now the head coach over with the Jets, also like Alex Anzalone, just kind of off the top of my head. But have you talked to any of them about the Saints organization and ahead of your first year with the Black and Gold?
I haven't talked to him yet about it. I came so late into that organization, and they were, I mean, so focused on, you know, trying to make the Super Bowl run, right, at the time. And so for me going into there, it was like learn, adapt, quit, because, I mean, we need you now type of thing. So there wasn't a whole lot of – I mean, it's unfortunate, but there wasn't a whole lot of super tight bonds made there. It was more like figure this out because we need you now. I think that D-line had lost like 8 guys last year, which is, you know, crazy. So, I mean, I went from L.A. It was the Friday after Thanksgiving. Went to L.A. and ran over to Detroit and was – I had to start that next game due to how many injuries they had. So, kind of hit the ground running there. I mean, I probably talked to some of them after this whole thing settles, but I haven't talked to them yet.
Jonah, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big 870 WWL. Man, we wish you the best of luck. Yeah, and, man, stay healthy because, you know, for a player, that's so important. Stay healthy and get yourself ready to roll.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you. All right. Good fun. Talk to you guys later.
All righty. Jonah Williams, one of the new members of the New Orleans Saints along the defensive line, certainly with the ties to Saints defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. When we come back, we'll have on with us the head coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. And, Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And so first question I'm going to ask you is, you got name tags on all them new players that you got so you can get familiar with them? Or are you like Buddy Ryan? Hey, 41, come over here.
Well, so that's a great question. I actually appreciate your awareness on the roster turnover. So what we did during the months of January, February, up until spring practice, our guys' off-season lifting and running shirts on the front, it had like kind of like they're in the military and they're wearing a little badge that says their name on the top left of their shoulder. On the front, it had their name, and on the back, it had their name real big, like on a jersey, so we could know who we're talking to. Now, when we went to spring practice day one yesterday, those shirts were all covered up, so now they're in jerseys with numbers on them, and I had to revert back to some numbers because the names weren't on there. And we got 34 guys going through spring practice right now that were not here until January this year, and so that's unheard of. You know, I don't know if I've ever had this much roster turnover in my entire life. And so that part's been unique, but we have definitely put name tags on the off-season workout shirt so we can know who we were talking to at times.
Coach, you mentioned it, 2 offensive starters returning, 3 to 4 defensive starters returning. I know you used the term change. I mean, how difficult is that just heading into spring with so many new faces?
It's difficult, to say the least. It's a little scary. Like, I'm sitting here going, all right, I don't know that I've ever been around a situation where you look up and you go, all right, we got 5 total returning starters on offense and defense combined. I mean, it's unheard of. And I guess maybe there's other people doing it nowadays, but I've never done it before. And so, you know, you look at center to right tackle, gone. Quarterback, tight end, running back, and all 3 receivers gone on offense. So you got your left tackle and your left guard back on offense, and that's it. And then defensively, you know, we got 1 more starter returning than the offense, but not exactly loaded. So we've got talented guys. I like the group. I like the ability, but very unproven, very, new to this place in a lot of regards, and very just kind of fresh and green and trying to figure out who's who and what their strengths and weaknesses are.
Coach, everybody wants to know about the quarterback position because either you got one or you're looking for one. But last year at this time, you might have took a guess maybe Mensah would be that guy. Maybe Mensah was going to be that guy. But now you got 3 guys, and they've all taken a little bit different journey here. Man, I remember T.J. Finley at Ponchatoula High School signs on with LSU, and now I think Tulane would be his fifth team. You got Donovan Leary and then Caden Samanze coming in also. They all different body types and all do things a little differently. So from what you've seen so far, kind of give us a little breakdown of each of those three quarterback prospects.
Yeah, all three very different. You hit the nail on the head. TJ, like you said, I remember TJ in high school. He was at Ponchatoula. Hank Tierney was his high school coach. I was actually coach. I told this story yesterday in the media availability. I was coaching Ole Miss at the time, coaching linebackers, and Hank calls me and he says, "Hey, coach, I got this quarterback down here. I've been running a lot of option, wing T type stuff for years, and I need to kind of evolve and develop more in that RPO pass game to maybe cater our offense to the quarterback I have." And credit to Hank for recognizing that at the time. He's a really good football coach for a reason, and he knew he needed to adapt and evolve to fit who he had under center. And so Hank came to visit and study how we were running the offense at the time at Ole Miss. And we were throwing the ball around a lot. We had A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and Dawson Knox and some of these really good receivers and tight ends catching the ball. And so that's kind of really when my awareness of T.J. developed, was from Hank, and have followed him for years now. I've started at LSU, went to Auburn, started some games there. In 2023, he was the starting quarterback at Texas State and took them to their first bowl game in FBS program history. And we played them. I was at Troy. We played them on the road at Texas State. We beat them, but he gave us a run for our money. The first drive of the game, I think they scored in like five or six plays. And I'm like, man, I didn't even realize this game had started. We were already down 7-0. But we found a way to come back and win that game. So, and then he went to Western Kentucky and became the starter there at the start of the season last year before an injury that ended his year. And, you know, big, tall, good-looking guy, can throw it a mile, you know, has good accuracy, has been in a lot of different systems in college. So he's got, you know, a really good football IQ. There's not much he hasn't seen. You know, there's no substitute for experience, and he's got that. He's played a lot of ball. So really like his experience. He's got 1 year of eligibility. Then you got Donovan Leary. He's Devin Leary's brother. Devin, you know, was at NC State as a starting quarterback and then Kentucky, and now he's on the practice squad with the Baltimore Ravens. Donovan's got a very impressive arm. When you watch him throw, he's got a live arm, but yet has the ability to put touch on his throws too. So really, really intrigued with what he has to bring to the table. And then Caden is kind of an interesting one going back. You know, TJ's all of 6'6", at least. He's a big, tall guy. Donovan, I don't know, 6'2", probably. And then Caden's more like a 6-footer, 5'11 guy. You know, in the vein of, I don't want to put this on him as a player, but, you know, like all much you say, like, hey, Drew Brees wasn't the tallest quarterback, but he's a pretty effective player, obviously. Well, that's kind of what you hope to see from Caden. And Caden's not the tallest guy, doesn't have the biggest stature. From Mission Viejo, California. Went to Ball State out of high school and played for Mike New, who has, you know, was with the Saints and at Tulane for a time. And at the end of the year last year, Mike had been the head coach at Ball State. Mike came down to visit with us for a couple of days, and he knew we were going to be looking for a quarterback. And so he brought Caden up, and we went through the process with Caden. Caden played in four games, a true freshman. And then last year, started every game for Ball State, and he was the MAC Freshman Player of the Year. He threw 25 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last year, and he had a really good year for them there and was the Player of the Year as a freshman in that conference. So, talented kid, has a little bit of moxie instinct and awareness about him. Those are the top three guys that are all new, and no rush on the timeline. We'll go through the process. We may know sooner. We may know later. You know, last year, if you'd asked me after day one of spring practice, we would have probably named a different guy starting quarterback than we ended up naming. And so you don't rush these things. You kind of let them play out.
Coach, one of the guys you picked up last year, and he had some injuries. We didn't get to see him. I saw him so much at the high school ranks at St. James, Chaz Preston. I think he had the hamstring injury that limited him until a little past the midway point of the season. How is he progressing in that offense, which you need some receivers now?
Yeah, well, obviously we lost Mario and Dante and Yul Keith all to graduation. You know, it was interesting when last January, when Chaz got here, you know, you could tell maybe that it had been through an experience at Alabama where he had maybe lost a little bit of confidence, to be honest, and was trying to find himself again, find his way as a player. And so it took him a little time. When he first got here, it took him a little time to stride last offseason. And then as he progressed, unfortunately, early in the summer, he had a hamstring injury that held him back for, you know, almost half of the season. And it was really, you never want to see a guy get hurt, but he was just kind of starting to find himself and build that confidence and really hit a stride. Well, injury occurs. We get to about mid-season and they finally clear him for activity. And when you've been dormant that long, it takes a little time to get back active and moving and sort of restarted, if you will. And he had a big touchdown against Temple. He had a touchdown against Memphis. And this has been a really good offseason for Chaz. You know, sometimes when you're in a room, a position room, that's got, as a guy that's new, you're trying to just figure out where you fit in. Well, when those guys leave, a lot of times you see some guys really step up and grow at a faster rate than maybe they were previously. And I think Chaz falls into that mold right now. Right now I think he's currently growing at a quick rate, and he's been more of a leader. He's been more vocal. He's been more confident because he's more prepared for his opportunities, and we need him to be.
Coach, one of the things last year at this time, I know we had spoken, you had brought up the secondary, well, that, you know, you were going to need some players maybe outside the program, which you got into that second period in the transfer portal. This year, I would think that those areas will be up front, trenchmen, offensive, defensive linemen, because that would seem to be maybe the question mark going into this season.
Wouldn't disagree at all. I think the biggest thing that's different is last year, you know, when I got on the job in December, a year and a half ago almost now, I really told the current staff in place here at Tulane, even the ones that were going to stay and coach with me, I told them, hey, y'all worry about being here for this team for the bowl game against Virginia Tech. Like, I'll handle recruiting. I told the guys that were going to come with me from Troy, hey, coach their bowl game before we worry about getting you down here to Tulane. Like, y'all wrap that up the right way. And so we kind of missed on a lot of that first transfer portal window in December from an acquisition of player standpoint. Well, this year, and then really it affected us most in the secondary and on defense last year. We had five defensive starters in game one versus Southeastern Louisiana last year that arrived here in June last summer. Okay, so it was just a very fast, you know, deal that you're trying to put the defense together. Well, I think our team is much more whole and complete right now is what we're going to look like in the fall than we were a year ago. A year ago this time, we had a lot of guys that we knew we better go find in that second window. We still got some areas we better resolve in the second transfer portal window. We've got to fix some issues, but it's not quite as glaring as it was then.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, we're going to get you back on and after maybe a couple more weeks, and you can really give us some detail, and you'll know the names then. You won't have to go by the name tags anymore.
Hey, I think I got their names now. Now I'm just trying to make sure I know their numbers too, but appreciate y'all having me on. Always good catching up, and y'all come see us, man.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll do it. Thank you, Coach. Coach John Sumrall, the head football coach for the Tulane Green Wave. We'll be back to wrap it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, repeating the news that happened in the first hour. The number one weighted wide receiver in the country from Mississippi. I think he's one of the top five players on every composite. Tristan Keys has verbally committed to LSU. Now let's see if they can sign him come December. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Canva presents your work horoscope for this week. Deadlines are in retrograde, which we all know can bring some intense energy. Our advice, fend off this forecast with Canva. Like Canva whiteboards to counter creative blocks, and Canva Docs for clarity and communications. If you have any sales deals coming through, results will be in your favor with Canva presentations, manifesting many wins for you. It's a great week to love your work at canva.com.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almaced.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.